We do appreciate Brother Joe's prayer and the song service and your presence here this evening. We'll turn first in our hearing this evening to the beginning of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. Begins like this in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I was given instruction this evening. I couldn't talk about baseball tonight, but maybe I can talk about football for a minute. And I remember a play back in 1972 where the Raiders and Steelers were playing. And there was 22 seconds left to go in the game. The Steelers had the ball at their own 40-yard line. And fourth and 10, and a big country boy from North Louisiana, Terry Bradshaw, threw a pass intended for John Fuqua, one of his receivers. And the NFL has voted it the best play in the history of the NFL and also the most controversial play. At least that was a while back. Now that Saints-Rams interference deal last year might become the most controversial play. But it's still disputed whether the ball was touched by the receiver from Pittsburgh or by defensive back Jack Tatum from the Raiders. If it wasn't touched by the defensive back, then it was an illegal pass. And the Franco Harris couldn't catch it when it deflected off of whoever it hit downfield. But anyway, the Steelers scored on that play. They were down 7-6 and won 13-7, I guess it was. But the next day in the paper, being a Catholic area of the country in Pittsburgh, the headlines read something about the Immaculate Reception. The Immaculate Reception. And I guess they were talking about Immaculate being, maybe it wasn't a clean reception. I don't know about that because it's controversial. But they were saying, I believe they were implying it was a miraculous reception, which it was. It was a miracle play. And it would only happen probably once out of 1,000 times at least. But, you know, some of our, those of Catholic faith refer to what I've just read to you about as the Immaculate Conception. Now, this birth was unlike any other that the world has ever known. Jesus Christ fell under the umbrella that Job talked about, where it says, man who's born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. He fell under that umbrella because he was born of a woman. But this was a different. I just read to you where Joseph, before they even come together, they were espoused. It was a strong engagement period, which lasted about a year. And at the end of that time, then they were betrothed. They were married and joined, like we do in weddings today, where, you know, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But that's where the comparison stops. This man who's born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. I have a good friend of mine of another faith and order, and she's an attorney in Brookhaven, and we've gone out to eat a few times. I enjoy her company, a very intelligent lady. And one time we were talking about when we were going to go out to eat, and she said she couldn't on Saturday night because she had the Feast of the Immaculate Conception at her church and had to be there for that. Very devout to her religious faith. And I assumed, Brother James, that had to do with the birth of the Son of God. And I said, so what exactly goes on at the Feast of the Immaculate Conception? She said, well, it may not be what you think it is, because it has nothing to do with the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but the virgin birth of his mother Mary. yeah, I see somebody shaking your head. like Brother Lois Fuller used to say, they didn't get that in the Bible. They got it out of the Bible, but not in it. Because somebody said they got it out of the Bible. No, they got it out of the Bible, right? Because it's not in it. But tonight we will look at that for just a few moments. And Isaiah had prophesied unto us. And I love reading a lot of Isaiah's writing. Some of it is very sad. I don't have to tell you where he told us in Isaiah 53, I guess it is, where it tells us that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Where it told us in Isaiah that his visage is marred more than any man. This was 600 or 700 years before he went to the cross of Calvary, but Isaiah is already prophesying. And I hate reading those things because it grieves my heart that because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden and the total depravity of his children, that the Son of God had to come and make this sacrifice for us. The man who knew no sin became sin for us through one man's disobedience. The Bible says many became sinners, but by one man's obedience, some of Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. I'm thankful for that great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's because of that, as Paul expressed on one occasion, because if I had hope in Christ in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. But you remember Isaiah told us it'll be repeated quite often in a few months, a couple months actually, as we get closer to Christmas. Isaiah 9:6 said, "Unto us, who is us? We're embraced in that us. For unto us a child is born, present tense verb, is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This is what amazes me, Brother Russell. "For a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." But you'll find, you know, in Scripture, we find a little bit about the birth of the Son of God. We find a little bit about him up until around age 2. We find a little bit about him around age 12. And then the rest of it pretty much in Scripture is from 30 to about 33 and a half, the Bible scholars tell us. But go to the book of Luke with me, and beginning in verse 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus," no surprise there, "which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification," who are they talking about there? They're talking about Mary. "Was there a time when she was impure? There was a time when she was unclean?" Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And you go back and read. We'll look back in Leviticus chapter 12 in just a few moments. But it says, "When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." If you look back in Exodus chapter 13, about verse 2, I think it is, it says there, "Every man or beast, the firstborn male of every man or beast shall be committed to the Lord, or presented to the Lord. And she said, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." That has great significance right there. As we go back to Leviticus chapter 12, you know, in Leviticus chapter 11, I had a cousin one time that told me that there was just too many rules at his house. It wasn't Brother Luke, Brother Russell. It could have been. But if there were any children like that, it's just too many rules at our house. I know Brother Wayne and Sister Sharon had some strict rules, and they were strictly enforced. And today, I thank God for it. You know, they had to know where we were pretty much all the time. I'm thankful we didn't have cell phones. My mom would have been blowing my phone up, tracking me down. She put a tracker on me probably. So you can do that with your phones, I think. But and then some of them is more like Outback Steakhouse. You know, no rules, just right. But there were Levitical laws that were in place in the Old Testament. And you read Leviticus chapter 11, you'll find a lot of the dietary laws. And those laws were given to Moses and Aaron. But now we come to Leviticus chapter 12, and it says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," this came unto Moses, "speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and he shall then, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come to the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Now, I mentioned to you a few moments ago that Mary and Joseph did not bring Jesus Christ into the sanctuary, into the temple, until this time had passed. She was unable to enter the sanctuary. There was a time when she was not pure. There was a time when she was unclean, dear friends. And I can tell you this, she was a sinner just like you and me. But it's amazing that the Lord chose this young peasant girl. Bible scholars tell us she was probably about 15 years of age when she gave birth to the Son of God. And I think about what an event that was to know that she had never known a man, but you know, the angel of the Lord thankfully appeared unto Joseph and said, as I tell you a few months ago, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. No one's ever been born that way except Jesus Christ. They said if you give a birth to a male child, you're unclean for 7 days. Then on the eighth day, the circumcision of a male child. And then after that, it's 33 days. If you continue reading, if it's a female child, a daughter born, you're unclean for 14 days. Then the time of the purification lasts 66 days, 66 days. So it pretty much doubled the time of impurification for giving birth to a daughter. You know, in the book of John, I think it is, it tells us that when a woman conceives, I mean, bears a child, there's a great travail in her sorrow. But said after the baby is born, after a man is born, the anguish goes away. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting exactly like it is in the book of John, but it says the anguish goes away and there's rejoicing for a child is born. Now, I've been told that, let me continue reading before we get to that. And when the days of her purifying, in verse 6, are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. That's the old Levitical law. And I tell you, as we go back to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, where we began this evening, we find that after the eighth day, Jesus Christ was circumcised according to the law. And then after the days of the purification, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, 33 more days, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, they had been reading, in these times, they had been reading the works of Isaiah, the writings of Isaiah the prophet. And they understood that there was going to be a son, a child was born. There was going to be a son that was given. They understood there was a Messiah coming. And I'm sure they greatly anticipated. They anticipated the birth of the Son of God. And the Bible tells us the day of one's birth, a day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. But can you imagine how they anticipated the arrival of the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who came to this earth to take away the sin of the world? And I believe it parallels what we're looking for now. He's already been here one time, Brother Charles, but what I'm looking for is the triumphant return of the Son of God. And I mentioned this many, many times in my efforts to preach and in my conversation with the Lord's people. As my precious earthly daddy always said, you know why I know he's coming back? Because he promised that he would. He promised that he would. I made some promises to my children before and I didn't follow through with those. And I'm not proud of that fact. I'm embarrassed by it, actually. But his promises are in Jesus Christ, are in him, yea and amen. He said, I go away. If I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But let's look at Simeon for just a minute, this devout man of God who was looking and waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, there's a song in this book. Old Brother Hayes Martin used to lead it, and we used to sing it up there in the Bethany Association all the time. We'll wait till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. I don't know how long we'll have to wait. But we sing another song that says, though the grave my bed for 10,000 years, I'll live on somewhere. And we know where that somewhere is. That somewhere is the place that the Lord went away to prepare for His children. When He tells you, if I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Don't you know the emotion just swelled up in the heart of Simeon? He had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Lord made it known unto him that he should not taste of death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. I don't know about us, but you know, I may have to taste of death before I see the Lord's Christ. I don't know. You don't know. No man knoweth the hour when the Son of Man shall come back. No man knoweth that hour but the Father which is in heaven. We may have to taste of death, but I know his great rejoicing to Simeon in his heart, who had, was a just man and a devout man, was waiting for the consolation of Israel and had waited for this day for so long. I'm a little envious of Simeon. I'm a little envious, but I'm thankful that he got to experience this great event in the history of the world. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, and I back up a little bit in verse 24. I skipped over this. I mentioned it earlier, but didn't point it out. Maybe it seemed like they brought a turtle dove and a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. That's what the poor folks were supposed to bring. If you were a rich folk, you're supposed to bring a lamb, unblemished, to the first year to bring as a sin offering unto the Lord, present unto the Lord as a sacrifice. But as he said, they had a provision. If you were unable to, I've read that from Leviticus chapter 12. If you were unable to provide a lamb for this sacrifice, you could bring two pigeons and two turtle doves. And I believe that's what Mary and Joseph brought to this temple according to Scripture. But I also believe they brought the total package. They brought a lamb with them too. They brought the Lamb of God. The only unblemished lamb. You know, even though it's unblemished lamb, I believe it had some blemishes. I really do. If you look close enough, I believe they had. I know they had one blemish because those animals would die eventually. If they weren't sacrificed, they were still going to die. But he said, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a blessed man Simeon was. And, you know, I think it's an example for us. And I really believe we'll commit our ways to the Lord. If we'll be just and devout to the things of God, if we'll put Him first in our life and make a commitment to serve Him with our body and our spirit, which are His, I believe in a spiritual sense, we'll see the consolation of Israel. We'll see Jesus Christ. And one day, of course, we know Job told us that with these eyes I'll see Him and not another. He said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I can only imagine how overwhelmed the Virgin Mary must have been. Again, I don't believe she was a virgin birth. She wasn't. I have no scripture to validate that. As a matter of fact, I think we have scripture to refute that, Brother James. But there was a time that she was not pure. There was a time she was unclean and a time she couldn't enter the sanctuary or get close to any hallowed thing. And the only people to come near her were the people who were necessary to from her family, perhaps, that would help take care of her during that time. And during that time, I think they were ceremonially unclean as well. But let's close. Let's look a little further into this scripture. It said, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know, I've heard it said before that in this world, you're going to get knocked down. And it's not how many times you get knocked down, but it's how many times you get back up. But there's coming a time when we have no power to get up. But the Bible has said, you know, tells us emphatically that hour is coming into which all in the graves hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're going to be totally, though the grave from our bed 10,000 years, as I mentioned earlier, I live on somewhere. Friends, we'll be in the grave, but the Lord, there's many falls and there's many risings, but that rising will be because the consolation of Israel came to His people. I want to close with the other one they encountered here at the temple. What a beautiful experience this must have been. I think there were only five people there, perhaps. That's all we have in Scripture. Mary and Joseph, Jesus Christ, Simeon and Anna, and two pigeons and two turtle doves. Like I said, they brought the lamb with them. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser, which is really Asher. Asher was the son of Jacob and Zilpah. Am I saying that right? And I know at the end of his life, when he was talking about his sons, he said, Asher, the bread of... I wish I remember exactly what the term to read it, but the bread of him shall be fat, and he shall produce royal dainties. And I didn't say that exactly like it is in Scripture as well, but delicacies fit for the king. His name means happy, but his is one of his descendants here. Anna, a prophetess, said she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was married 7 years, and her husband died. And now we are 84 years down the road from that. And the Bible says what a precious sister in the church she must have been, since she would departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that look for redemption in Israel. Pretty much the same thing as the consolation of Israel. Consolation means to console or to comfort. When you realize that you're a sinner, friends, it's very humbling in this life. But when you understand that you're a sinner saved by grace, what a marvelous condition you're in. The consolation of Israel, the one who brought redemption to His people. She said He had looked for redemption in Jerusalem. To get redemption, you must have a Redeemer, and the Redeemer was here. On this occasion, the Redeemer had come into the temple, brought by His parents, after about 40, 41 days of His life, His virgin birth in Bethlehem of Judea. And then He's coming back to the temple in Jerusalem to follow the Levitical law, to be presented to the Lord, because He was the firstborn. He's the firstborn among many brethren, is what Scripture tells us. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What a beautiful story that is. They were following the Levitical law. We've been told that we should obey the laws of God and man. But if you obey the laws of God, pretty much the laws of man take care of themselves. Over in Exodus chapter 20, there's some laws that we all ought to pay attention to, that we ought to read quite often and try to allow them to soak in, and to the best of our ability, try to keep from transgressing those Ten Commandments that are just as relevant today as they were the day God wrote them in the stone tablets upon Mount Sinai. They're just as relevant now as they were then. Some of those Levitical laws, though, I'm thankful that we had a schoolmaster that brought us to grace. If you ask me which one I prefer, law or grace, I'm going to tell you what I prefer, and I think you prefer the same thing. It's not even that's not a true-false situation. It's not a 50-50 proposition. It's grace. Brother Oscar Easton used to say, for justice called, but praise God, mercy answered. What a beautiful story that is. I trust that you'll continue to read Scripture, and that I will continue to read and find some of these things that maybe were hid from the wise and prudent. It's been revealed unto babes. And I've heard, I said a bumper sticker before, said discover a buried treasure, read your Bible. I saw one the other day over at Pineville, Louisiana. Brother Wayne Painter and I were riding to church. A marquee outside of a church says, "Sick of fake news? Read God's Word. If you're sick of fake news, read this. There's nothing fake about this. This is all real." And it's left, not as a roadmap to heaven, but for instructions right now for the Lord's children to live obediently. Maybe we be more like Simeon, just you men in the congregation. We'll be just and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. You precious sisters, maybe you'll be more like Anna, that you'll commit your ways in the Lord and be faithful, not leaving the temple, but fasting and praying at all times and looking for the redemption in Israel. It's coming. We've already been redeemed. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, whom the Lord knew, foreknew, He also did predestinate. Those He predestinated, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. I talked about present tense things a while ago. Now we're talking about past tense things. In the mind and purpose of God, we've already been glorified. Brother Steve Wood said there's a part of our body right now that's ready for heaven right now. It don't have to be cleaned up at all. It's our soul and our spirit which belong to the Lord. It's this vile body that the Lord would have to change. And like unto His own glorious body. We should be fashioned in His own glorious body. What a day that will be when the consolation of Israel comes back to get His children. May the Lord bless you. Is our prayer this evening.